Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Lagunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. Great to have you back. Now, I want to talk about one thing that's coming up in the week ahead, this week. In mid-May, a Moscow court had been expected to rule on a request from prosecutors to designate three organizations founded by the imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny as extremist groups. This would outlaw the three groups and could have severe consequences for anyone who worked for them or helped fund them. And now, one of the groups is actually Navalny's entire network of offices across Russia, which has essentially been shut down in connection with the case that's being heard. Another is his anti-corruption foundation, known as FBK, which has investigated corruption in circles close to President Vladimir Putin and, indeed, linked to Putin himself, and has issued several video reports about its findings, some of which have been viewed by millions of people. There was the one about the estate dubbed kind of a palace for Putin, which FBK said was, based on evidence, said was built for Putin. The Kremlin then denied that he owned it. And then an oligarch close to the Kremlin came forward and said that it was he who owned it. In any case, that's one of the big reports that the FBK put out. And now it is in danger of being labeled extremist. But anyway, the case was delayed after prosecutors added more material last month. And a hearing is now scheduled for this Wednesday, I believe, June 9th. Irina, do you think the result is a foregone conclusion?
I would think yes, of course, because this is not a separate case against FBK. It is supported by the new legislation in Russia. On 4th of June, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law that those people who are connected with extremism, whatever it means, or connected to the activity of extremist organizations, cannot run for public posts, cannot participate as candidates in the elections.
Right.
So that itself shows that the case against FBK will be moving pretty quickly before September. The interesting thing now is that you're right, on the at the end of May, the court actually postponed the next hearing because of the additional materials. And the end of last week, actually, the lawyers said that they started to go through this new volumes, and it's six or seven new volumes in the materials.
Right.
Altogether, there are 23 volumes right now, hundreds of pages.
Yeah.
So the lawyers said that they found actually empty pages in this new materials that were added. The pages just had numbers, but nothing else. They're just blank. So that
somebody forgot to fill them in, I guess.
Well, maybe, or they are waiting for some additional ideas how to fill them up, with the new stories and new arguments.
Right.
So all this is going on in a rush, apparently, if we see the empty pages there. And they are in a rush to make it before the elections, that's for sure. Now, whatever it will mean in reality, not only to FBK, but also to the a lot of people, actually, because FBK existed on the nations. actually started at work with raising money, networking through internet. So lots and lots of people donated some small money to FBK. And right now it looks like they will go back to check whomever they want to check, whoever raises voice. And if they find out that there was a transaction, electronic transaction on the account of ABK, FBK, then this person can be prosecuted or deprived of political rights. And this is really now being discussed a lot in Russian social media, even in Russian media, because this law, it looks like, has kind of a retrospective force,
right?
Which is really against the spirit of any law in any country and against the spirit of a Russian constitution, even though it had been changed. But this spirit, at least right now, is there. So it's a very dangerous, potentially dangerous situation for lots and lots of people, thousands of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess even retroactive or not, which I a lot of people are saying it violates the Constitution anyway, the constitutional right, to elect and to be elected. I think critics are saying it's really an effort to Navalny was barred from the elections in 2018, the presidential election, which he tried to challenge Putin. And now, many, many people would be barred from elections at all levels. Now, you mentioned this law, and you also mentioned the elections. The State Duma, lower house of parliament elections are expected to be held in September. I think by law they need to be held by September 19th. They may do a three-day election. But the crackdown or the campaign is not limited to Navalny and his groups, his supporters, people who have donated a few rubles to the FBK. Many others have also been targeted. There have been moves against independent media, as you well know, and civil society groups such as Open Russia, whose former head was taken off a plane last week shortly before it was about to leave St. Petersburg on a flight abroad. Now, Irina, this sounds like a strange question, but what's going on here? Is this crackdown kind of a temporary phenomenon ahead of the elections, or does it look like something bigger than that?
Even if the idea of authorities right now, Steve, to clean the field, the political field, before the elections, I don't think that they will stop. Because right now, right, it's not only FBK, it's also Open Russia, also political opponent of Putin and opposition leader Dmitry Gudkov was forced to leave Russia because last week they opened a criminal case against him, even though it's unclear what exactly is the criminal case about.
Right.
But what we learned was that his aunt didn't pay rent years ago, and for whatever reason, they also put Dmitry Gudkov in this case. What does it have to do with his aunt? Nobody knows. But nonetheless, he preferred to leave Russia over the weekend, and he is now in Kiev in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That's another blow to Russian opposition because he is a very popular opposition leader, one of the few that stayed in Russia in the last years and was not in prison. But now he is not, so that's another blow. Why I'm saying that, they will not stop there. When last week after the downing of the Ryanair plane in Belarus, in order apparently to arrest Roman Protasevich, the blogger and the former head of and founder of Nechta Telegram channel. The next day after this, when the West was really shocked and outcried against this act of air piracy, Vladimir Putin received Alexander Lukashenko in Sochi. And the warmth with which two presidents showed on Putin's media cameras are is striking. Because, you know, if Putin didn't want, wouldn't want to show that they are the same, that they are, you know, that they share common dictatorial values,
right,
then he wouldn't embrace Lukashenko. But that was striking. And that means that Putin actually showed the world that they are the same. There is no difference. They are buddies. They are friends. And he was not appalled with Lukashenko's actions in no way. So that you know, that shows that this repressions, this system of repressions that they are now enlarging and enforcing, will continue to exist after the elections. Plus, you know, it's a psychology of a repressive machine. Once it's created, once it's being active, it cannot stop. It needs to act further. So I don't think that we will see anything better after the elections than what it is now, if not worse.
Right. And I think people were predicting that sort of after, you know, once last year when the Constitution was changed to allow Putin to run again for two more terms. I think a lot of analysts predicted that there would be a crackdown, that the security forces would be emboldened, and that does seem to be what has happened. I'll just comment on two interesting symbols that you mentioned. I mean, or maybe not symbols, but for one thing, Gudkov, as you say, you know, this is a big blow. I believe he was one of the last of the kind of liberal opposition figures in the Duma. I don't remember the details of when, you know, when he last was a lawmaker in the State Duma, but certainly, you know, one of the biggest kind of symbols of democratic opposition, and so he's gone. You know, the only one of the few well-known leaders who, you know, who is now still in Russia or back in Russia is Navalny. Nemtsov was killed in 2015. So it's as I think you're saying, it's a somewhat of a grim forecast. And another kind of symbolic thing you mentioned, Putin's meeting with Lukashenko on the Black Sea. They went on a yacht, and you know, I think a lot of analysts were saying after this Protasevich situation, where he was this plane was essentially forced down in Minsk, and this blogger who's you know, a critic of Lukashenko was arrested and he's now jailed. People were saying, well, you know, Putin, Russia probably knew about this, but a lot of people, I think, were saying, you know, it doesn't put Putin in a good position because he kind of has to deal with Lukashenko doing crazy things. So it's not a great look for Putin and the Kremlin. But as you say, I mean, the symbolism of the meeting itself, you know, was the exact opposite, as if, you know, absolutely no problem with what happened in Belarus. And I think Putin said near the beginning of the meeting that the kind of Western criticism over the incident was essentially an outburst of emotion. So, you know, as you said, you know, it was kind of a strong show of support for Lukashenko, I think, in this case. no matter what's going on behind the scenes. All right. I've been talking too long. We're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up. Irina, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
Okay. I'll be back next Monday for another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Please keep an eye out for my Week in Russia newsletter on Friday. Thanks for listening.